It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar. In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time!
Even the ugly ones!
Politics is weird and creepy. And now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
And we are doing our Surviving R. Kelly episode, January 13th, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, call-in episode. All right, that is a call-in episode. 347-857-3937. We will have the telephone number posted with the episode as we're live. All right.
I felt special. I actually thought that I was his girlfriend. You know, I was living up there at that point. We were together all the time. You know, I had no reason to question that we weren't. Life in the studio was kind of boring for the most part. You really couldn't have much interaction other than, I couldn't have much interaction with anyone other than Robert. At that time, I didn't know what a runner was. But later on, I realized it was just, you know, the people that work at the studio, and they pretty much like run errands. My mom would call the studio. The runners would actually let Robert know that I had a phone call, and then he would let them know to transfer their call to me. I do know that there were times where when she would get through and she'd be upset and saying she couldn't contact me and things like that. So it very well could have been times where she was calling and they weren't allowed to put me through. One time, one of his friends came to the studio and he's speaking to everyone and just a normal reaction, you speak back. Rob would get upset and say, you're not supposed to speak to them. You don't speak to anybody. You just look straight forward. If they speak to you, you don't say anything. Pretty early on, he kind of introduced you to everything that he was into. It was instructed to call him daddy during sex, but it went from that to pretty much all the time he'd be daddy. The first time Robert had me do sexual acts with him and another female, he actually told me it was going to be his first time and he wanted to do it with me. He would say things like, well, you know, if you love me, you won't try to change me. You know, if you love me, you'll accept me how I am. You know, if you love me, you'll do these things for me. So those would be the little pep talks he would give me. Robert would film our sex acts. Sometimes he would never ask me if it was okay to be filmed, but he never hit the camera or anything like that. Once we did the threesome, it became more frequent. Then he started introducing me to other young women.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
All right, and this here, this is not a news outlet that I am entirely familiar with. All right, so it's this news outlet, it's they're calling themselves Times Leader. All right, so found a little interesting something or other right here. So a source, all right, which means unnamed source, and they say that a suspended officer had a little trouble. All right, let's take a look here. So we're in Wilkes-Barre, And anytime a law enforcement officer is behind bars, it creates challenges for prison staff. All right, I'll tell you, look here, bud, I'll tell you. Now, in the case of a suspended Ashley police officer, Mark Eric Icker. Man, that name is familiar. I'll have to look that up. I swear to fuck we covered someone named Icker before. Might not be the same one. His stay in the Luzon County Corrections Facility has resulted in an added hurdle for protecting his food. A source inside the prison told the Times Leader that Icker's meals are being handled exclusively by staff after he complained that inmates mixed feces and other contaminants into his food. The inmates who have demonstrated good behavior are allowed to perform tasks within the facility, including delivering meals, washing shower facilities, cutting grass, and painting. Icker's attorney, Bernard J. Brown, said on Friday that he was aware of the claims and that, quote, "I consider it to be a non-issue," end quote. Your blue life doesn't matter. County Correctional Services Division, the head of that, Mark Rakovich, confirmed on Friday only that Mr. Icker is in protective custody, which is typical for incarcerated policy overseers, and declined to discuss any other specifics about Icker's incarceration, citing confidentiality requirements and security concerns. Quote from Rakovich, "We are doing everything we can to ensure his safety while he is in our custody, as we would with any inmate," end quote. Mr. Icker is a 29-year-old individual and was incarcerated last month after being accused of coercing two women into oral... Oh, we fucking did cover this guy. This is an update. Yeah, this is the one where I remember saying it because the way he asked him those fucked up questions, he's establishing false consent. That's this motherfucker. Uh-huh. We have an update. He's a little duty mouth now. Uh-huh, you rapist fuck. Fuck you. all right, check it out. So he's incarcerated last month after being accused of coercing two women into oral sex in exchange for leniency in traffic stops. He was facing a $1 million bail, which was initially lowered to $100,000 by one judge on Friday. Hours later, Mr. Icker was hit with new charges in connection with allegations by a third motherfucking victim, and bail is denied in that case. Ha, 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 you rapist piece of fuck. Eat shit, literally. WineCellarMedia.com.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
All right. And let's go on over here to the independent.co.uk. All right, let's take a little glancy poo on down here. Uh-huh. All right, so this was published quite literally 2 hours before I started reading it. All right, today, January 7th, 2019 at 3:56 p.m. This just got published. All right, now it's about folks in India, and so I'm gonna be doing my darndest to pronounce these here names. Can you understand what I'm talking about? Come on. So this is article up by Adam Whitnall in Delhi. All right, and the title is "Push to the Fringes of Indian Society: Delhi's Trans Women Face Constant HIV Threat." Let's take a look. Take a little bit of a look here. All right, so Bobby has lost track of the precise number of times she has been gang raped. That's the first sentence. Let's say it again. Bobby has lost track of the precise number of times she has been gang raped. Let's continue. She thinks it is between 8 and 10. Quote, every time it has been without condom. Every time I was badly beaten. End quote. As a trans sex worker in India's capital city, Delhi, the smiling, unabashed 25-year-old lives under a constant threat of HIV infection, which she can only do so much control. She speaks to the Independent at the at the Samarth Clinic in an outwardly unassuming center on the outskirts of the capital, run by the India HIV AIDS Alliance and supported by the Elton John AIDS Foundation. Samarth's goal is to target communities that have been missed by the behemoth of India's public anti-AIDS operation. While the country as a whole reports a relatively low prevalence rate of just 0.2%, that rises to 7.4% among transgender women. Bobby first started to identify as a woman at the age of 12. I would say girl, but all right. But living in a small town in northern Himachal, in Pradesh state, she didn't know anyone else who felt the same. One of her elder brothers used to insult her and beat her repeatedly, and her parents, though they were not abusive themselves, did nothing to intervene. Which I would say means they were abusive themselves. She says she just felt like an alien before she came to live in Delhi at the age of 18 in the capital. She says out there she can dress as she pleases and no one will pick on me on the street, end quote. Bobby fell into sex work by chance when she was struggling for a place to stay and a boyfriend offered to start paying for her accommodation. All right. By chance or by capitalism? Yeah, your mic wasn't on.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, when I'm in by myself, I only have one mic on, so I decrease the amount of air in the mix. Hmm. All right, so test you out.
How does it look now? Hold on, I gotta move my mic closer.
All right, yeah, Phoenix Kalita just stepped in. All right, I figured I'd get some material done so that we have, you know, something to work from.
Oh, shit, yep.
While you were still getting whatnot handled.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Yes.
Yeah, we're having, you know what, I'll just turn your volume up super hardcore.
Okay.
And we'll figure it out. Okay. So, skippy flippy doo, back to it, just a little bit more. All right, I wanted to, I try to make sure I get something trans rights and sex workers' rights in here. And again, folks, this article went up 2 hours before I started recording. I searched, and we've got something. All right? All right, let's take a look here. Continuing. It is a common trope among members of the LGBT community, says the Alliance's Associate Director, Abiana Ahar. Trans women end up struggling to earn a living because of the stigma they face in the workplace. The charity says an estimated 87% of trans women in India earn money either as sex workers or by begging in the street. Quote from Ms. Ahar, you still see a lot of bullying in the educational institutions. If you are a gender variant child or expressing a different sexuality, there are no supportive environments to stop them from dropping out. And so these children are already trapped into a victim's circle of poverty. End quote. That is heavy-handed. We're going to go ahead and link that with the post for this here episode. All right. And let's dance it on forward.
Okay. That was awkward. I was moving something like right when it came on. All right. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what do I have here?
Yes.
Yes. I have a story. I think this is a Becky Lives Matter story.
Oh, good.
I think it counts as that.
Good.
Okay. So police say a woman's dramatic account of an attack by a black male was a lie. Never seen that before, ever.
Yeah, what they mean by it is like it was acid that she used to make soap, which is good. That's good.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't mean that kind of lie, William. So, a woman who claimed that a black man attacked her in a Walmart parking lot and had even posted photos of her injuries to incite public sympathy lied, according to police. On Tuesday, the Columbia Police Department in South Carolina announced that in December, 26-year-old Kristen Michelle Rimes of Irmo, fucking city's called Irmo. All right,
that's where Elmo smokes crack, nigga.
Aw, that's dark.
I didn't really know where I was going as soon as air hit my vocal cords.
Do you ever?
No.
So, Kristen Michelle Rimes was charged with filing a false police report and false swearing to police after she reported a fake crime. She has since been taken to the Elvin S. Glenn Detention Center in Columbia. The police department did not return a request for comment. Rimes told police that on November 26th, she was assaulted by a black man in a Walmart parking lot. In an interview with the Cola Daily, Rimes described sitting in her parked car, typing a friend's address into her GPS system when a black man came over and said, "Hey, girl."
That's what I do.
You just walk up to a random white woman and be like, "Hey, girl."
But I say it the way you said it. I go, "Hey, girl." Hey, girl. Like Snuffleupagus and shit. "Hey, girl. Hey, girl."
Oh, God. Well, I guess it's better than Cookie Monster.
Like, that's what she went with the first Monday after Thanksgiving. That's what she wanted to do is,
"Hey, girl.
I need to come up with a black man lie."
Yes. I didn't see anybody. I just heard a voice. I wasn't interested, so I just rolled my window up. Nigga. All right. Rimes, a mother of two. I don't know why that's relevant to the story in any capacity.
What state has the state been mentioned?
South Carolina.
Okay, so because I was thinking, like, if she's somewhere up north and she's saying her window was rolled down on November 26th and you just sit in parking lots with your window rolled down on November 26th. All right, but it's in South Carolina, so there's plausibility, and also Negris is scary.
Negris is scary. And for some reason, this ad, she's a mother of two. Well, I guess it's relevant. You should watch out for her children. They're also probably fucking racist. Clan members in training. So yeah. She said, "I didn't see anybody. I just heard a voice. I said I wasn't interested and just rolled up my window. I had put my car in park and didn't think about how my doors unlock automatically when I do that."
Mm-hmm. What? Wait, what? Other cars that do that? Is that a feature? Is that a thing?
I think, well, in our car, if you put it in park and you open one door, all the doors unlock.
Uh-huh. Okay. And, so, and this is a 2008. Yeah. So maybe that technology's popping. All right.
So I didn't think about how my doors unlock automatically. Then she says the man pulled her out of the car and I hit the right side of my face. Okay. He started tugging on my pants.
Wait a second. She's in the driver's seat?
Yes.
And hit the right side of her face getting pulled out of the car?
Yeah.
All right, keep going. Sounds awesome. White girl magic.
He started tugging on my pants, she said. Suddenly I heard another guy scream, "What's going on over there?" At that point, the guy took off. The man who yelled never came back. It was just... I just take it as an angel sent from God. What?
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
Uh-huh. I just wanted to go home and get out of there, she told the Cola Daily. I went first thing Monday morning to file a police report to pull camera footage, which I am so mad at myself for not calling him that night. I think I was in shock. Okay. Wait, you fucking know it didn't happen, but you called police anyway and said, please go look at the camera footage?
Okay, so
nigga,
like...
how the fuck?
We've done, Becky, like, you realize that we're like on episode like 780 something right now.
Yes.
Yeah, and so we've done some Becky Lives Matter stories where it's like, cheated on the boyfriend, made up a story, black guy raped me.
Mm-hmm.
Late from school or some shit like that, made up a story, black guy raped me.
Yep.
Everybody knows the old Obama one from when she carved Obama in her own forehead, but it was backwards, so you could tell she did it in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
All those ones. What? Ones where...
the one some... that said she ran into a church and said she had been, like, kidnapped and, like, locked in a basement and raped, gang raped by, like, five black dudes.
And then that one has something to do with, like, her grades or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like she fucked up her parents' car, some shit like that. And fucking ones where
she was trying to get her boyfriend back because he broke up with her and she thought he would feel bad for her or something. And
really, if she got tainted by the lesser,
it doesn't have to make sense. All right,
she doesn't know how white on white misogyny works.
Mm.
I'll learn you. fucking the one with the where they were babysitting and they fucked up babysitting, so they said like somebody black broke into the house and fucked up their shit.
Yeah.
But didn't steal anything. Just
yeah.
That's what black dudes do. They just come in the house and break shit. Just knock shit over. Black men are cats.
They are.
Just push shit off of
that's
surfaces.
That's why you call niggas cats.
What's happening, cat daddy? shit, man. So yeah, we covered a lot of these. And there's always something that prompted them to make up the lie. Is that in this story, or do we have to wait for an update?
I think we might have to wait for an update. Because, yeah, it doesn't... let me see. I don't think... Let's get down to it. I don't think it says. So, yeah, he was tugging on my pants. Some random stranger sent from God saved me. I wanted to go home. Camera footage. All right. However, Rhymes had enough clarity to describe the suspect. He was a black male, medium build, wearing a hoodie with a jacket over it.
That's not everybody. Jesus Christ. It, on some level, not on some in the back of my head, I don't really say this much, but ever since I was like 16, that's why I don't wear hooded sweatshirts.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, because it takes me a little less out of fitting the description. I'll go with a scarf and a beanie cap over a hooded sweatshirt. Essentially, I'm 35 now, over half my life.
You know, it's also interesting, too.
Oh, wait, I'm just under. Yeah. What up?
You pointed out earlier, you said, like, she's really fucking in the winter in, what, the day after Thanksgiving, sitting with her windows down. And we're like, well, maybe South Carolina could be warm, but also peep this guy. He's wearing a hoodie and a coat.
Okay, so he was cold, but you were burning up with all that open window. Jesus Christ. It's the wind chill hot factor.
The wind chill hot factor. All right. You always hear that people's reactions are fight or flight. Mine was to just kind of run out of there, she reflected.
That's flight! What the fuck? Nigga! Help me! Nigga!
The world's not as kind as it should be. Sometimes we have to look out for each other.
By lying and... Jesus Christ.
She was just trying to get her extrajudicial killing of a black man in to make the world a better place. Rhymes recalled the brave man who supposedly helped her. I would love to know who he is. He is definitely an angel. I hold a big place in my heart for whoever he is. He allowed me to get back to my kids, and I am very grateful. Okay. Rhymes' colleagues posted images of her facial features in a Facebook group called Citizens of the Town of Irmo, South Carolina, writing... Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
My coworker! Exclamation point for some reason. Bless her, she's been through a lot. So glad she's okay! Exclamation mark. Everyone should be on the lookout and please travel in pairs. I even called my fiance that you don't know how to spell the word. That's okay. when I had. Sorry.
I know that this is some respectability, Paula. This is some asshole shit of us in this moment. We're not going to front on that. How they spell it.
You know what? Maybe it was just their autocorrect because it says finance.
Okay.
So maybe it was just autocorrect.
Okay. Woo.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Kofefe.
It was not like Kofefe. everyone be on the lookout. Please travel in pairs. I even call my fiance when I have to walk to my car from work just to be sure someone knows what's happening. After Rhyme's arrest, the poster wrote, edit, yes, I know she's been taken into custody for a false police report. Very upset.
I mean, Jesus was a white man, too.
Mm-hmm. According to the state, Rimes' photos were passed around multiple Facebook groups. The police press release said Rimes herself posted about the attack on social media, causing, quote, public concern. However, it said investigations determined she was not at the Walmart location on the night of the attack.
Aw, shit.
Where were you, though? I want to know, because her face did get fucked up from something. What happened?
Aw, nigga. Did she pick a fight with a smaller white woman and...
get her ass kicked? Maybe.
Yeah, she's like, nigga, quit beefing on size, nigga. She got hands. Mm-mm. Shit. Damn, so what the fuck did she do? So her face was fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what the fuck did she do? Does it look, is it bruising or is there like scratching, cutting?
I can't tell because they're just showing her mugshot and what she doesn't. Wait, let me Google her name right quick.
Yeah, all right. Damn, this is an investigative wine cellarism. Nigga, we looking this motherfucker up. We're not journalists. We just talk about what the journalists already wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah. we're quite literally armchair pundits.
Yes.
All right, Phoenix Kalita is digging that the fuck up.
Yes.
And while Phoenix Kalita is digging that the fuck up, remember that if you are listening to this as an individual clip, yeah.
Yeah, her face did get fucked up.
Bruises?
It's like a cut and a bruise.
Cut and a bruise. So yeah. she got hit with a bare knuckle.
She got hit with something.
Holy shit. All right, trigger warning, folks. I'm putting this up to the camera. All right, let me make sure that's coming up there. Okay, damn it, the light glare is fucking it up. All right, can you get this on winecellarmedia.com and get her image up there?
Yes.
Yeah, she got fucking, okay, folks. I lived in a place called Spanaway, Washington State for a while, 7 years to be exactamundo. And then I used to go back and hang out there after I went to the foster care system. And, she looks like she might have a meth to her madness.
Mm.
Okay. And maybe there was a deal gone wrong and she got her ass kicked. But folks don't know that she has a meth to her madness. So she made up a story I'm guessing.
I just
want to
know what happened.
Yeah, she looks like she is no stranger to household cleaning products.
Yeah, she actually, and as you said that, I scrolled to another picture of her. Yeah.
Yeah, so fucking, this could be a Becky Lives Matter story, but it also could be a fucking, we wish white people would focus on classism and coalition with us instead of the damn racism, because this could be a class and drug addiction issue as well.
Mm.
But also, making up fucking stories. Quit being racist, you fuck. Quit it. Stop it. All right? And if you are listening to this as an individual clip, there you can, we do this now. We bust the individual clips out for convenience for folks that only have, like, a couple minutes to play some shit, and then they gotta fucking move on. And we also have, there'll be a full episode with the whole shit, all the clips that we did on Monday stitched together. All right?
But wait, there's more.
Oh, outstanding.
Someone really went back and researched her shit. Apparently, in 2016, she created a GoFundMe campaign saying that she went into labor in Alabama and did not have health insurance, and so she needed help paying the medical bills related to the birth of her second son. However, it then was later revealed that she was in Alabama to testify in favor of her ex-boyfriend who was on trial for abusing her first son.
Oh, nice vague word, abusing.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, there's some shit going on here. This is a fucked up story.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a little weird.
And, you know, so that's something, because, you know, sometimes, like, as black people, we, white supremacy has installed a meanness into us. To where sometimes we see a white person, we're just like, ha ha, what's your fucking deal? But over the past, what, like 6 months, since we moved here to Elgin,
yeah.
Like, we see a white woman that looks like she's had a tough go of it. And we're just like, what in the patriarchy happened to her?
Right.
Like, what did it do to you? Hey, Sue, what happened?
What happened?
Heather, what happened? Yeah. It ain't right.
Yeah, I can't find any source that says what actually caused the injuries.
All right, fuck, man. Hopefully, we get a real update or an accidental update like we got with the doo-doo cop. All right. That's the hell on from around here. WineCellarMedia.com. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And right now, we are early in the second week of January. And January 13th, all right, CST, Central Standard Time, 10 a.m., we will do our call-in Surviving R. Kelly discussion episode.
Mm. Okay, I'm ready this time. Ha-ha, winning. All right.
Shit.
What? All right.
All right, win.
I'm going to win. Do you want... white people white peopling, or do you want white people white peopling?
The first one.
Yeah. I don't actually know which one the first one was, because, well, we're going to do them both anyway. I guess it doesn't really matter.
Fine.
Fine. Iowa white people white peopling.
Oh, fuck, that's where fucking, is that Steve King or Peter King?
Steve.
Steve, Cantaloupe's King. Outstanding.
So Iowa, you know, wait, are you familiar with that expression, the further north you go, the farther south you get?
Yes.
That's Iowa. Really?
And that's who gets to start off the Democratic primaries.
Fucking Iowa.
Iowa.
But corn and racist, that's what Iowa is. And a couple colleges, whatever. So Iowa is being proactive about school shootings. They have a plan, and that plan involves mandatory firearms courses for middle schoolers. No. Yeah. So two school districts in Iowa will reportedly introduce mandatory classes about firearm safety into school curriculum starting next year. Students enrolled in both 7th and 8th grade schools at North Butler and Clarksville districts will be required to take part of a mandatory hunter safety course taught by the Butler County Conservation Board. Radio Iowa reported on Thursday. The course will reportedly be implemented as part of the students' PE curriculum.
Ah, get the fuck out of here. God damn it.
Oh. Shooting is work. It's exercise, William.
Holy
shooting
shit.
Shooting things is hard. It's exercise. It is physical education. Do you not physically have to hold the gun? It's physical education.
Woo! Like, let the story just be ridiculous. Why do they have to fucking... Like, they're like, nah. I mean, yeah, they know we're white, but they don't know how white we are. Make it P.E.
The further north you go.
P.E.
P.E.
So you actually go in the locker room and put on sweatpants and shit.
Yeah.
So you can just stand there and discharge rounds.
Yep.
Are they usually using blanks?
It's Iowa, nigga.
Ah, shit.
All right, so high school students interested in learning about firearm safety will also reportedly have the option to participate in a voluntary class. North Butler Superintendent Joel Foster told a local outlet that the classes are geared towards, quote, teaching students how to use weapons responsibly, how to respect them, understand it's not a video game, and those sort of things, so maybe we'll cut down on the chances of having a severe incident.
Did this nigga say, and those sort of things?
Yes.
You're talking about guns. You need to use full, comprehensive, detailed sentences. You can't just say those sort of things. You can't say what, not, and what have you. This, that, and the other. Every point needs to be sharper than a fuck-a-muckin' pencil after a third grader gets their first personal pencil sharpener with their new backpack. What kind of simile was that? I don't know, but it was specific, wasn't it?
It was very specific.
God damn it.
Oh, are you in that group on Facebook too?
Maybe. I like joining those groups that are a whole sentence.
Yeah, I think it's called, it's like, that sounds weirdly specific, but okay.
Maybe. I wouldn't like surprise me. I like those fucking groups and pages. Like, we want to read something, in this full length episode. I'm not going to make it a short. Maybe I will. From the white dudes, making white dudes type paragraphs. Outstanding page.
It's a fun one. So, you know, we're going to use weapons responsibly, respect them, understand it's not even a video game, that sort of thing. and maybe we'll cut down on the chances of having a severe incident. Because how could training them how to use guns possibly come back to bite you in the ass?
Okay.
Yes?
Cut down on an incident.
Yes.
It's Iowa already.
Right.
I don't know if you know this, but students steal shit from school.
Mm-hmm.
You think one of these little bad motherfuckers is not gonna get a fucking paperclip and a nail filer and pick the fucking lock to the gun case and steal a fucking gun? You've already created the incident.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, it's not even Darwin anymore. They're not letting evolution do its thing. They're going against evolution with causing climate change and they're killing themselves. Faster than should be going. Nigga, you could evolve. You might turn black again, okay? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? In a couple hundred thousand years, you might turn black again. Come on. You're killing yourselves.
No. Foster added that although he understands not all students are interested in hunting, the goal is to teach them lessons they can use in unexpected situations.
Man. And are they going to say a lesson? Did you pre-read this already? Do they have one of the lessons?
No, because there's only like one paragraph left of this whole article.
Oh, Jesus balls. How intelligent is this one?
He's going to explain a situation. Kind of, but not really. If my 12-year-old girl is out babysitting a 3-year-old and the 3-year-old walks out of mom and dad's bedroom with a shotgun, she needs to know how to handle that.
What the fuck? Really? Really?
You couldn't make this shit up. That's the fucking lesson. What if a 3-year-old walks out of your parents' bedroom with a shotgun?
I want to look up now. See, this is investigative wine cellarism. I just want to look up. I mean, there's multiple different types of shotguns, I assume.
Yes.
So I'm just going to type in shotgun and weight.
I mean, I think the weight they could handle, but the size, like, they're long.
Is it sawed off?
It's Iowa, nigga. It might be.
They just might have every damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
How much should a shotgun weigh? Fuck it. Mm-hmm. This is in my search history. I mean, you pair this up with the right kinds of episodes and I am under arrest.
You gotta kill a lot of people.
Oh, man.
Episode title.
That's a title, man. Jesus, and we lived up to the title. That's the fucked up part, because I'm so obsessed with not making them clickbait. Like, if it's the title, I gotta fucking do it. How much should a shotgun weigh? Why is it a whole article?
Because it's Field and Stream.
7 pounds.
Yeah.
7 pounds ain't that gum light. How much does a 3-year-old weigh?
Well,
let's see. How much does a 3-year-old weigh? W-E-I-G to the is-H. Okay, healthanswers.com. Let's take a look here. Wait, average child. Wait. During the toddler years, 1 to 3, the average child should gain 4 to 6 pounds by 30 months. 28 pounds.
Yep.
So the shotgun, what, times 3 is 21 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
So the shotgun is a fourth of your body weight and you're 3.
Yes.
And they could just walk around with the mother. How did they even get it?
Because their parents are responsible gun owners who do not have a gun safe.
You would actually have to leave it on the floor. Fuck safe. You could even put it on a high shelf.
What if a 3-year-old gets it, William?
That's right, I forgot the premise of even looking this shit up. It's his goofy ass what if for why he wants to teach the class, because 12-year-old girls need to know when it's time to shoot a 3-year-old in the fucking face, because stand your ground. Does Iowa have a stand your ground law? This is investigative wine cellarism.
By the way, while you were talking, I was randomly on Cabela's website looking at shotguns, and yeah, they're all between 7 and 8 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Iowa, stand your ground law. Just looking to see if it's there. IowaGunOwners.org, stand your ground legislation signed into law. Well, wait, and then let's take a look at some more headlines. Iowa stand your ground law prompts. That's from the Des Moines Register. Stand your ground in Iowa, gun laws 101. So, That 12-year-old girl has a defense if she shoots a 3-year-old in the face that she's babysitting. And it has to be a girl babysitting because gender roles and all that.
Yes, it does have to be a girl.
But she also needs to have a gun because guns and all that.
Yes.
Whew.
There's women in the NRA.
I don't like people, man. WineCellarMedia.com. I don't like people. Mm. Oh, it's going.
Oh. Damn. I was about to be ready and everything.
I was about to be ready.
Yes.
All right, go with that.
You can't start ready. You got to be about to be ready. And then you get ready, and then you are ready, and then you're late.
Shouldn't you be ready before you start?
No.
This nigga just said you can't start ready.
Yeah.
Man, you realize that we appeal to the working class, and they are pissed right now. They're like, what the fuck you mean? I better be ready.
Anyways. So last time, the choice was white people white peopling or white people white peopling, and we covered white people white peopling, but now there's more white people white peopling.
No.
Yes.
Nah, not more than that one. No.
I accept your challenge, sir.
I'm not dealing with this bullshit. Not doing it.
Really?
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. All right, do it.
North Dakota man. Again. The further north you go, the farther south you get.
It's got to be a man. Men are always whiter. White men are whiter than white women, man.
North Dakota man pleads guilty to...
We've been doing this too much.
Maybe this fucking headline, nigga. Okay. North Dakota man pleads guilty to stealing forklift to kill Donald Trump.
You are the goddang whitest person I've ever seen.
A North Dakota mechanic has entered a guilty plea in federal court in relation to what the government charged was a fantastic plot to kill the president.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Did Donald Trump write it himself? What the Aw, shit, man. A forklift. To kill the president.
Yes.
Was it going to Wally Coyote his ass and drop some shit on his head or something? What was the plan?
Let's find out.
No.
According to federal authorities, Gregory Lee Laling Gang?
Nigga. Help me.
Age 42 of Bismarck stole a forklift and entered a presidential motorcade route on September in 2017.
Get the fuck! I thought this was gonna be some bullshit. He really tried to kill the president.
With a forklift!
What? That is so proletarian. God damn.
So... he stole a forklift and entered a presidential motorcade before Donald Trump arrived to give a tax reform speech at the Mandan Refinery. I'm just calling him Gregory. His first name is Gregory. Was apprehended after the forklift got stuck in a gated area of the refinery.
He gave it a shot.
Questioned by police and U.S. Secret Service agents, he reportedly confessed to a very bizarre plot. The intent was basically to try to get to the limo, flip the limo, and kill the president.
All right. He doesn't put too many steps in there, you know? You fucking... You keep it sick. K-I-S-S, right?
Yeah.
Keep it simple, sunshine.
All right, so the intent was basically to try to get to the limo, flip the limo, and get to the president, and then kill the president, according to U.S. Assistant State's Attorney Brandi Sass Russell, who told a federal court on Friday, according to the Bismarck Tribune. Gregory was indicted on two criminal counts in October 2017, accusing him of entering a restricted area while using a dangerous weapon and attempting to damage government property. Per the terms of the plea agreement, prosecutors agreed to drop a charge related to the use of a dangerous weapon. According to the Grand Forks Herald...
Are these fuckers just calling the forklift a dangerous weapon?
Yes.
Ah, these fucking fuckers.
Yes. According to the Grand Forks Herald... Grand Forks... Is that a fucking city? Grand Forks?
Probably.
Whatever. Michelle Monteiro, Gregory's public defender, said in court her client had been suffering from a serious psychiatric crisis during the incident. Okay. Danielle L. Hovland, chief judge for the U.S. District Court in North Dakota, delayed sentencing until February 19, 2019. Gregory could receive up to 10 years in prison and be fined $250,000.
Mm-hmm. Aw, man, let him go. She was trying to help.
He was trying to help.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. What are you shitting me?
A certified auto body technician, Gregory is already serving a state prison sentence for pleading guilty to vehicle theft, setting fire to a maintenance shop, and...
Oh, shit.
Goddamn. All right. I thought, you know what? Like, you ever see a sentence so wild, you just like, wait, did I read that? No, I read it right. I just didn't. Mm-hmm. So, Gregory is serving a state prison sentence for pleading guilty to a vehicle theft and setting fire to a maintenance shop and a state parole and probation office.
I swear to fuck, it sounds like he heard my rhyme. My socialize the justice rhyme, yes. The fucking, burn the corporation down and chop the owner to bits.
Yes.
That's what he tried to do.
He
set
some
shit on fire and then he took forks to the owner.
According to the Bismarck Tribune, Gregory said he set fire to the maintenance building because someone loosely affiliated with it had made him mad in 1999.
Damn, nigga. That's beef. That's beef.
You okay.
1999. That was still the 90s. I mean, to be redundant about it, it was the fucking 90s. A show called Sparks was still on the air.
Hmm.
Right? People were just really learning about, the one with the really big eyes. The daughter of a famous person. Light-skinned, yellow-headed woman. I mean, light-skinned, black, negro woman. A show called Girlfriends.
I didn't watch that.
Tracy Harris Ross.
Ellis.
Tracy Ellis Ross, yeah. That was 1999.
Yeah.
Two decades ago. Somebody that was born then is in the military now getting their fucking head blown off.
Yes.
Jesus.
He said he set the other fire because if he went to... What? Hold on. This doesn't fucking make sense. Whatever.
Does it have to?
No. He said he set the other fire because if he went to prison, people would be giving him stamps.
And so he can send a lot of mail out.
I like the next sentence in the article. It's unclear how gifting of postage stamps related to the state agency. His estimated release date for the state convictions is 2038.
Ah, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Because of the, quote, substantial sentence that Gregory is already serving, Sassy Russell said she would consider recommending his federal sentence run concurrent to time he's already serving. If the judge accepts the recommendation, Gregory will be approximately 61 years old when he's released.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay, because... In the past couple months, we covered some stories about people getting down in their fucking 70s.
Shit.
I think 70 is the new fuck it.
But yeah, you tried to use a fucking forklift to kill the president.
Damn, that was the beginning of the story.
A lot happened.
We got really far from the headline. That's when you got a good white-on-white crime story. When you got to remind yourself that it began somewhere. Like, you're so caught up in the end, man. Yeah.
It was a little wild.
Some of these white-on-white crimes could really be like fucking, like, 38-minute movies. I'd watch them.
Yeah.
I'd watch the fuck out of them. Even the scatological ones.
Ew.
You know, they don't have to show it. They could pan the camera up and show them making a face. I understand what's happening. Right?
I'm good without that. I could pass on that one.
You know, that's like TV. TV has too much, like, actual, you know... fucking humping on each other sex scenes.
Yeah.
It's like I came up when the camera showed him walking upstairs, panned away, and dark and off to the next scene.
Right.
We all understand. Right. I don't need to see I don't need to see every single cis woman actress nude. I think that's something creepy and fucked up that directors are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Like, I guarantee you there's some high fives behind closed doors. Like, look at the one I got.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's tacky. It does not make me more in touch with the character. It doesn't move the story forward. It's just raunch for the sake of raunch.
Yeah.
All right? Make directors direct again.
Nigga.
WineCellarMedia.com. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. This is the kind of stuff that happens.
You are the goddang whitest person I've ever seen.
Folks. And this is this is one that we're doing on Monday. I'm also doing a Facebooz live right along with it, on the smart device. So a bit far away from the microphones. All right. So folks may have heard Wacky Welsing, Francis Cress Welsing, Gus T. Renegade. Right, these names, these folks, these people. There we go. There go my goggles. All right. And so there are people that follow these folks, this Francis Cress Welsing, Gus T. Renegade, you know, Tariq Nasheed, Jason Black, all these black conservatives that we've riffed about before. And one of them that follows them is a stand-up comedian type cat, calls himself Ken Steele.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm thinking about posting the screenshots of this shit and just, like, saying, like, you know, to my, black women out there that think that some of the homegirls, some of the black feminist homegirls may be tripping or gone too far, give them a screenshot of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a random black man you don't know. He's just out there. And this shit just bugged me out, right? Because Centoya Brown, Phoenix Leader, quick synopsis.
Centoya Brown was a underage sex trafficking victim who killed one of her clients because she thought he was going to kill her. The prosecutor said, hey, even though you're a minor and technically, by legal definitions, a victim of sex trafficking, you're black, so fuck you, go to prison until you die.
All right, and that's where she was. But then folks had online petitions. This one actually, like, that's why we didn't cover it much, because we were like, oh, shit, this one has attention. We can focus on other stories, you know, because the Centoya Brown story was rocking. People were actually involved in this one, and it got all the way up to, and this is Tennessee, right?
I believe so.
I can't imagine a Tennessee governor is a very progressive person.
Indeed.
But this shit got the motherfucker, what they call clemency. Off the top of your head, you know legal-fied stuff, what the heck is clemency?
Clemency is basically you get out, but you haven't been pardoned, so you don't have to serve the rest of your prison sentence, but the charge still stays on your record. So, like, she's still a felon and still, like, convicted of murder,
yeah.
but she doesn't have to serve the rest of the sentence.
Word. Word. All right, so that's what happened with Centoya Brown. So, this person who calls himself Ken Steele, a regular caller into Gus T. Renegade's The Cows program, The Context of White Supremacy, and I find these black conservatives interesting, and this is the post that he made 5 hours in this. We're recording this right now at 5:13 p.m. Monday, January 7th, 2019. Paul and I have glaucoma. All right, so this is what a follower of Francis Cress Welsing and Gus T. Renegade, this is their hot take.
Yes.
Murderer Centoya Brown released from prison while innocent, Mumia Abu Jamal stays in.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, he didn't add that. On Twitter, he also tweets everything he puts on Facebook.
Yeah.
On Twitter, it also said, feeling disgusted.
Oh, he puts that in Facebook. You make that part, like,
oh, it at makes the top, an it's emoji. Put it on there. Yeah.
Yeah, and it says feeling utter disgust. And then he tags his other two profiles with it. And they have a thread. So, and this is Hotep Town. So, and I see Sam Sampson just tuned in. We're talking about a follower of Francis Cress Welsing and Gus T. Renegade and what they think of the Centoya Brown clemency. All right, and his response is, she's out as a murderer, and innocent Mumia Abu Jamal stays in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's see here. They have a thread.
Oh, great.
And remember, these are the black conservatives I'm talking about. Now, these people, everyone in this thread is not a content creator, but this is the kind of conversation going on in their world. They're hoteps, okay? Mm. Nashima Yisrael.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
In all caps, with no punctuation, I'm with you on this one. And Shantez Jones said, what's her story? You ready for Ken Steele to break it down?
Can't wait.
Here we go. This is Ken Steele, black man. Is Satoya Brown black or Afro-Latina? I don't know.
She's light-skinned.
All right. So this black man talking about a black girl, mm-hmm. Ken Steele, follower of Francis Cress Welsing, quote, she was turning tricks, found a sucker who fell asleep on her, blew his brains out, stole his car, smoked blunts while joyriding in his whip. There you go.
Okay.
A little different than your synopsis.
It was a little different, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Shantez Jones responds, Ken Steele, so no rape involved? And Ken Steele responds, Shantez Jones, none. It was a fucking lie from the jump. What up?
Also, this is the same crowd that says that black people can't consent to having sex with white people because black people are children under white supremacy.
Yeah, but when you're a, no, but when you're a black fast.
Because by this logic, she was like doubly the child because she was literally a teenager and black, and this was a white man. So it's just interesting the consistency or lack thereof, as it were.
And so he says, none. It was a lie from the fucking jump. These Me Too fuckers are running amok and are now letting fucking prostitutes get away with murder.
Ken Steele does porn. I can't get it out of my head, like, looking at this shit.
Porn, and he does fucking...
interracial porn.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Shantez Jones' response says, gotcha, the evil don't stop, exhausting. Then Derek Smith comes in and says, yeah, fam, they put out that she was a victim of sex trafficking. And Demetrius Thompson, man, it gets better, doesn't it? Lots.
They didn't put it out. That's the fucking law. That's literally in the laws. That's not, they put that out.
Ah, these are black men and this is a black girl, therefore no.
Uh-huh.
So Demetrius comes in and says, are you ready for this one?
Oh, yeah, can't wait.
She thick as fuck. Those are my thoughts. Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right. Now someone else comes in a little different. This is Mecca Marba, a cis black woman in this thread. And she said, I really am neutral on this one. She was dead wrong for killing that guy. Okay, so you're neutral. She continues saying, should she have been sentenced to 50 years, though? I don't think so. She was 16 at the time and obviously had gone through some messed up stuff in her childhood to get to that point. The guy was under the assumption he had paid for consensual sex with an adult. He didn't deserve to lose his life. Still, I'm not gonna cry about getting her out now. Out now that she's in her 30s. Dudes shoot and kill... dudes shoot and kill other black people and get 5 to 10 years. She killed a white guy and they threw the book at her. Is she in her 30s now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know she aged up that. Well, that's how black people age. Mm. Yeah, I didn't know she aged up. I actually thought that she was like 21 or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, that was a very neutral stance.
Somebody else comes in. Again, these are their names. Asante Sakili Afuraka. I'm pretty sure his name...
Your fucking name is Greg. Shut the fuck up, nigga.
Yeah, shut up, Winthorpe. Ugh. Kill it. Okay, Gunther, nigga. Gunther comes in and says, can't compare the two. Makes no sense. Keep in mind, the premise of this was...
Mumia's locked up and she's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody named Jesus Negus said, nigga, you smoking conscious crack. which I think he's responding to Ken Steele. So now they have a micro thread. And Derek said, so Mumia shouldn't be freed. So hit him with the straw man immediately. And Jesus Negus said, you stupid too. I never said that. And I do, and I don't have time for you bitter ass back to Africa motherfuckers. Just always a contrarian. Why would I want him to stay incarcerated? That's counterproductive to what I stand for. Why would I want any black person in jail? Why would I talk down on a kid who was neglected by drug addicted parents? Why it gotta be either or, fool? And Derek Smith said, okay, I will be whatever you say I am. So if you agree, if Mumia should be freed also, why the cocaine moniker was made? I don't understand that question.
Conscious crack?
Oh, okay. And Jesus Negus said, wow, you in the back of the class. You would have to be on hashtag crack to think Cynthia Brown deserves to be in prison. And then he put the shrugging shoulders McMoji. And Derek Smith said, in the back of the class is where you can read and study and study your other classes. I see you didn't do much reading while you was in school. Anyhow, what? I mentioned, I know, right? Because that's how you stay up on the class you're currently in. Got it, coach. He said, anyhow, I mentioned Mumia, not the female, based on your crack reference. Are you sure you don't smoke cocaine? I'm gonna put up screenshots of this. Let's go back more in the main thread. So now Ken Steele's responding and saying, I remember them marketing this case with a bogus pimp name, a bogus black pimp name. In the original tale, she was just raped and she was being human trafficked. Such nonsense.
Again, by the legal definition, yeah, she was actually a victim of human trafficking.
And notice he's saying they were marketing.
Yeah.
Like, this was a story to be sold. Who made money off of it?
Yeah. Which also, like, that was some pretty shitty marketing if she still ended up in prison.
Yeah. But that's how much he fucking hates black women. Like, he sees a story of a child trafficking victim and calls it Me Too. How the fuck is that Me Too? Me Too is about the workplace, nigga.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, yeah, because... And also, these niggas, they do anything to just disagree with who they consider to be feminists arbitrarily.
Right.
All right? Like, again, I've said this before months ago. The Cosby Show was not that fucking good. It was boring as fuck. I tried to watch a scene from it. It sucks. It's so boring. Family Matters is the shit.
Yeah.
And if it came out that Carl Winslow was raping the shit out of every damn body, I'd be like, fuck him in that show too.
Right.
But Jesus Christ, the Cosby Show was a shit show. Just like R. Kelly ain't that damn good, but y'all niggas went and played his shit to deliberately boost his, you know, whatever.
Yeah, his, like, views or whatever.
Yeah, that'll get ad revenue and whatnot. Deliberately did that just as a form of pushback. Not because the shit's that dope.
I also see nobody's talking about Kendrick Lamar with all that.
What up?
Because remember, like, they were trying to get R. Kelly's shit off, and that, what was that?
Spotify?
Yeah, but who's that other nigga?
Not Kendrick Lamar.
No, the dead one that was, like, raping his girlfriend and shit.
Oh,
that,
extinction level whack nigga.
That guy. Yeah, they were trying to take that guy and R. Kelly stuff off Spotify, and Kendrick Lamar got a bunch of other, like, rappers together and was like, if you take their shit off, I'm taking my shit off too. So they left R. Kelly's shit up. And, wait, like, Kendrick Lamar was, like, a big force behind that.
Fucking, so Kendrick Lamar did a fucking boycott for R. Kelly.
Yeah. On some goofy nigga shit, was like, y'all only targeting black artists. Like, white artists do bullshit too. Why are you not pulling their shit down? If you only going to target black artists, then I'm gonna take my shit off your site.
See, now, and I'm telling, I don't know if I riffed about this on the program or just me and Phoenix sitting in the car talking, which we should start recording. Tariq Nasheed is a hell of a damn fundraiser. Jason Black. Hell of a damn fundraiser. Gus T. Renegade has a good revenue stream coming in. A lot of these niggas have white collar jobs. Their followers have white collar jobs. Ken Steele makes makes a decent coin. He's a personal trainer, stand-up comedian, mm-hmm. does porn with white women. These niggas could fundraise and make an outlet to mm-hmm. cover these stories about these white rapists that they're so concerned with. They could probably come up with some sort of class. They could get the white victims of these white rapists and get class action lawsuits together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they really care. They're yep. so concerned with Harvey well, Weinstein. What up?
But they also are like, well, we're going to talk about black boys. Oh, shoot. That is my cue. I think the tow truck is here.
Okay. Beast Leaders out. Episode was tying off anyway. But yeah, they could fundraise and come together and make that happen, couldn't they? But they don't care. Harvey Weinstein is just George Soros for conservative black male rape apologists like Tariq Nasheed, Gus T. Renegade, and Ken Steele. All right. WineCellarMedia.com, PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Please, motherfucker, be as safe as possible wherever you are.